Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to whatever your commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part two.
So I'm wearing this Marley's jersey. Jeffler gave me this jersey to wear tonight. Yeah, shout out Jeffler. Please applaud for it. Wait, y'all hate him, right? You're all on Reddit.
Jeffler.
All right, so this is a Jeremy Williams Marley's jersey. Are you familiar with Jeremy Williams? Is it possible Jeremy Williams is here tonight? And by that, I mean working the bar. So Jeffler tells me that Jeremy Williams is famous for, being a Marley, the second greatest honor in Toronto hockey. And, third, being a Leaf, being traded from the Leafs, and being a Marley.
And running the hot dog cart that Phil Kessel never went to.
All right, so fourth, okay, fifth, okay, being a Leaf, being traded from the Leafs, mm-hmm. being a Marley, being a hot dog vendor, mm-hmm. knowing Wendell Clark. Okay, so Jeremy Williams apparently is famous for being called up to the Leafs three times, and in each of his first three, you know this already? Each of his first three NHL games, he scored a goal, and then different years. So April 18th, 2006 against Pittsburgh, and then 2007 against Montreal, and 2008 against Florida. So that's his claim to fame, is three times he came up and three times he scored.
Do you think he tells that story in bars and no one gives a shit? Like, you know who I am? I scored on Danny Sabourin in 2006.
The thing I don't quite understand is, like, why wouldn't you just then continue that trend? Like, score, send down. Score, send down. I know that there's probably a waiver claim at some point, but he's fucking Jeremy Williams. Who's taking this guy, right? So it's like, at some point, you just keep doing it, right? That's to me. It's super hot. I'm going to take this thing off.
Yeah, it's...
Here, hold my mic.
It's warm, and I can't see anything beyond, like, the first row. Like, it's just blinding lights. You guys have no idea how hard this is. God, the free beer and the just talking into a microphone, it's just so hard. And oh yeah, yeah, show it off, baby.
I'm gonna wear my Team North. I didn't realize that my Team North America.
Ow.
Oh shit.
Oh my
backing.
God. Oh, that would have been awesome.
I'm not even on my third beer yet. I saw so many people with, let me get a cheer for the people wearing TNA shit tonight at the show. There's like three of you, but there's people that are wearing it, and I didn't realize it became a thing that, like, people were going to wear it to the shows. I was saying to somebody outside before, like, the 10-year anniversary of Team North America, that one guy that was on the team that didn't make it in the NHL after, like,
I know,
this,
right?
Is out of it now. Like, yeah, oh, that's a great one. Oh, shit. Connor Hollybuck, right.
What I love the most is that 10 years from now, people are going to see the jerseys and the hats. They're going to go, what was that? They're going to be like,
No,
they're going to be like, that was a super fun, awesome team from the World Cup that
right.
just, it was just so great to watch them play. Oh, how'd they do the next time they did the World Cup? Oh, they didn't bring them back.
Right.
Why? Well, the NHL just decided it was too much fun and they didn't want to do it anymore.
And in 10 years from now, you know it's going to be a 25-part miniseries on Sportsnet with Ron McLean.
Right. The greatest team that was ever assembled in Canadian hockey history.
And Connor,
Shane Gostisbehere, 6-time Norris Trophy winner.
And Connor McDavid complaining, I wanted to be on Team Canada. I didn't want to be on this team, so I complained. Sorry for you on the most fun, awesome team anybody ever watched ever. I can't wait for hockey season.
All right. We have a couple of hockey topics to get to, and then we're going to have... So,
have you met Chris Johnston, by the way? He's going to come out again in like 3 minutes. Keep drinking, buddy.
Chris Johnston is like, if you go to a taping of Monday Night Raw, they have the main event, and then they have like a main event after the main event with the same people, just for the people inside the arena. So he's basically John Cena, I mean, in my opinion. And Jackie Redmond's going to be on that panel with him. And then Myrtle's going to be here, too, which will be very exciting.
Yeah.
Myrtle's actually standing behind that banner right now. You can't see him. It's the only thing we found to obscure his tallness.
He's probably in the room
somewhere. Or in the words of the great Pierre McGuire.
Oh, God.
To hide the girth.
You know what's funny is I don't even remember him saying that, but I believe he said that.
He did. About Jeff O'Neill's giant hog. Remember? on the
No.
On the free agency
I've blocked out
show.
So much. I've blocked out yeah. so much, Pierre.
Oh, man.
Oh, Doc and Eddie, James Myrtle's girth is unbelievable. I remember seeing his girth for the first time in Sault Ste. Marie. why did you see it back then?
So he'll be out too. And then we're also going to play the roster game, which we've renamed Schlemcode in honor of the last live show.
And full disclosure, it's going to be really hard this time. Like, it's not going to be a Leafs team. So if you volunteer to come up here,
yeah,
prepare to be embarrassed.
Mark, are you here defending champion of the
Mark's here.
All right, so we'll figure out who's going to face Mark later.
Mark with a C, by the way.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out to this live show, our first live show in Toronto for Puck Soup. And
thank you.
At the Rivoli, which I've been calling the Rivioli because it sounds more exotic.
I thought it was like a fancy Italian restaurant where like mafia people hung out. I really did.
Like 150
it's like,
people.
It's a nice bar.
150 people that want to have different types of stuffed pasta. Who the fuck is
right,
that?
Like you would think like the guy who came in third on like Top Chef worked here and his name was like Guy Cacciatore. Hey, you want to go listen to Guy Cacciatore do his thing?
Guy Cacciatore has a restaurant called Rivioli.
You keep calling it Rivioli. It's not Rivioli.
And Guy Rivioli has one called Guy's Place.
So right. Anyway...
I want to give a shout-out to Duger66 on Twitter, who said when we referenced the fact we were doing the show tonight, if I wanted to pay $30 to hear Dave Lozo sigh, I'd buy his sex tape.
that's pretty good.
Oh, man.
To be fair, though, there's no way my sex tape would last as long as this show.
Right.
And it's still a really good joke.
And it would be at least $40. All right. Let's start with the Pope, I guess, since we had that letter that he wrote to us.
The Pope. The Pope loves hockey, you guys.
What did you think yesterday when you found out that the Pope endorses the NHL and all of its principles?
Can you imagine any other sport doing this? like imagine Roger Goodell at midfield tonight. You know, he's in New England, NFL season starting, and he's just like, I want to congratulate the New England Patriots on their great comeback, and the crowd goes nuts, and he goes, and here's what the Pope had to say about that. It's so weird, and apparently, so whenever the NHL does something that seems like it's really nice, you know there's a reason why they're doing it, and there's the owners want to get money somehow, but you're like, wait, they want to do nice stuff for youth leagues. They want hockey to be nicer. How are they going to profit from this? And then Chris Johnston, who's backstage, writes a story, and you find out they want to raise the draft age from 18 to 19. And you're want to take money away from the really good hockey players.
And then it's also about, you know, creating new fans by having more kids play hockey and yada, yada, yada.
But some of the principles were so weird. They were like, hockey teaches kids how to be nice adults. Like, what youth sport doesn't do that? Like, like when you watch Little League Baseball, the parents aren't like, kill him, Timmy, kill him. Like, all the youth sports are the same. You want to learn how to grow and learn how to lose and learn all that stuff. Like all the stuff in the Declaration of Principles
yeah.
is all stuff that we've all known already. Like,
it was funny being in that room because they got through most of the principles, and I was thinking to myself, okay, this sounds like military recruitment. It builds character. You'll understand teamwork. You'll not want to be an individual. Conform. And then I'm like, that's kind of uncomfortable. But then we got to the point where we realized the entire thing was a Trojan horse for the Catholic Church. We're like, holy shit. It was much different. It was the comparison I've made is like when you go to a festival in your town. You're like, this is a wonderful festival. Look, there's a Ferris wheel. It's all sorts of fun. And you realize that every single tent in the little carnival is Bible themed. And it's like, oh, I'd like to take my kid to that tent where they're building models. It's of Noah's Ark. And then like you realize that you have to sign. I'm going to commit my life to the youth group thing as you leave the. It was a very odd thing.
But you know how like hockey ignores the fans all the time, like. Usually, okay, ready? Let's pretend like I'm the NHL. Hey, fans, what do you want from the NHL in order to like it more? What do you want?
Olympics.
I'm here.
Olympics fights.
Wait, okay. I'm hearing more Catholic Church stuff. Like, And it was weird too because like no like I felt like nobody who was at the event called them out on it to be like I'm okay with the offside review new rule.
I was at the event and I can honestly say that it was just a shock. Like
imagine if like Jude Law walked out on stage with a kangaroo and was like, "Remember the Young Pope?" Based on the laughs, nobody watched the Young Pope in this room but me.
No, it was like the little dude from NHL Network who looks like a overeager. I don't know.
I don't pay for the NHL Network, yeah, so right. I don't know who that is.
So he comes out, and like the whole thing had been very agnostic. It had been very sort of like youth sports, they're for everyone.
Right. And it was non-religious, like most sporting things are.
And he comes out and he says, "And now our final speaker, Pat LaFontaine." And boy, does he have a story to tell you. I'm like, what sort of mischief did Pat LaFontaine get into in New York City? What, he got into the wrong cab or something?
No, he's like, remember when Dale Hunter ran me from behind? I actually slept with his wife the night before. And you'd be like, oh, right, now I understand that. But instead he's like, have you accepted Jesus as your savior?
I'm gonna give you a pass on your confluence of Pierre Turgeon and
I screwed that up, didn't I?
It's all right. They're both sabers, kind of.
Yeah. Well, maybe he took revenge on Pierre Turgeon.
But he came out, and it's like he's talking about this thing. Youth sports are for everybody. And it's like, now last night the strangest thing happened. I'm like, oh man, what did they bring you, the lobster instead of a burger? And he's like, the NHL received a letter from the Pope. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
And you know they paid for it. Like any sort of promotion you're getting, they gave the Pope something. They gave him like a little, like, you know, a little
the stipend. Pope was in his tower and he was like,
"The Pope doesn't watch hockey."
He was like, "Oh, it looks like tomorrow, according to this press release, that the NHL is going to declare their principles for hockey." Bishop, take a memo. I need to send Gary Bettman a letter.
So the Pope's like hanging out in the Vatican. He's just like, yeah. "Man, my favorite player is Ben Bishop." Somebody get me someone from the NHL in here immediately. Like, how many people on the Pope's team had to tell him who Pat LaFontaine was? And he's writing a letter to the NHL. Come on. It's someone's just so like, weird.
It's like, Pontiff, he's running down the hallway shaking a piece of paper. Pontiff, I have something to tell you. Hold on, I'm almost complete with this letter to the NHL. Have you heard about the New Jersey Devils? The what?
It's the episode of Seinfeld where Putty's the devil. It's hilarious. Come back in 10 minutes.
All right. Another sports thing was George Parros was named the vice president of player safety. Round of applause from two people for George Parros. Now, let me ask you this, because here's the way I understand
Thanks
it.
Thanks for coming tonight, George Parros.
I think most people don't like... That was funny. I think most people don't like the department. Round of applause if you don't like the Department of Player Safety. All right. Round of applause if you don't like George Parros. Okay.
Round of applause if you like George Parros' mustache. Yeah. It's a sweet mustache.
My suspicion's correct. It's skepticism about the Department of Player Safety and not necessarily about George Parros. But what did you feel in your loins when you heard that George Parros was going to be the vice president of player safety?
Boy, I wish I had a fart queued up at that point, because that would have been perfect timing.
Hold on. I like the fact that you queue up your farts.
Well, I mean, if you told me backstage, have a fart ready at 11:06 while we were out here, I'd have the fart ready, and it would have been a good move.
Wish, but... do the bit where I point the mic up my taint. I got a bullet in the chamber.
Oh, my God. What was the question?
What about George Parros? What'd you think?
So, my feeling is just player safety is kind of forced to do what they have to do based on the CBA. It doesn't matter if George Parros is there. It doesn't matter if, you know, if, like, Jack McCoy walks in the room and he's, like, the arbiter of justice. Like, he's just like, oh, shit, I got to do whatever the CBA tells me.
Let me pause for a second. You guys have Law and Order up here?
Oh, they get a Jack McCoy reference. Come on, they understand that.
I don't know. Thank you, Sam Waterston. Yes,
thank you.
The
argument for like George Parros, Chris Pronger, all those guys is like the Frank Abagnale thing, where it's like,
right.
Well, you want to have Frank Abagnale there because he knows how to forge checks, so we can catch all the guys that forge checks. But
right. Yes,
but
right.
If all these people come in and they think forging checks is awesome,
right?
they're not going to tell you how to catch the guys who forge checks. And that's what they do. They bring in a bunch of guys that are just like, well, forging checks is part of the game. So I'm not really super enthused about George Parros.
So would you like
there.
Would you like the job, George Parros?
I would. What makes you qualified? Well, if you put the Pan Am toys in the bathtub, you can soak off the logos. And you put them on these forged checks.
Right.
And now you're a pilot.
Right.
Right.
Except George Parros is like, I don't care if whoever flies the plane. Oh, whatever. If you can do it, go for it.
Is Stefan Quintal here by any chance? No? Okay, he was terrible. So I'm really happy that there's somebody else doing player safety. Honestly, like, my problem with the Department of Player Safety was that under Brendan Shanahan, shout out Brendan Shanahan, go ahead, do your fucking savior of Toronto bullshit applause.
I thought that cheer would be louder for Brendan Shanahan. He's got you in the playoffs in like 2 years after a tank. Where's the Brendan Shanahan love in this room? Yeah.
He used to suspend everybody for everything.
Yeah, he was great.
Like, you look at a guy wrong in the preseason, you sit out the next 10 games, and it was great.
Pierre-Marc Bouchard lifted a guy's stick and messed up by accident and got, like, 47 games.
Yeah. And like I wrote about today, like, I miss the days when our debates were about, oh, that guy shouldn't have been suspended for as long as he was, but now we debate, how come that guy wasn't suspended? And I feel like it's a better world when they just throw the book at everybody. And I feel like George Parros might get us closer, because they're going to focus now on slashing. They want to fix slashing. And so I feel like there's going to be a lot of bullshit slashing suspensions now, and I like it better that way.
You know who I want to run player safety? The Pope. The Pope's not going to put up with shit like Matt Calvert at the end of a game in the fucking playoffs. He's going to
no,
five
you're right.
games.
You're right. The Catholic Church never looks the other way. The
They'll just transfer George Parros to a different department within the NHL. We didn't plan that, by the way. That was just...
that tremor you felt was my mom hitting the floor in New Jersey somewhere. On her way to the Help Haiti group at my local church. Shout out to Haiti. To go back to your initial point, I'm a big fan of... Like, I don't get the whole argument that if you hire the guys who played dirty or the physical players to run player safety, that it's like Ken Campbell, to the surprise of fucking no one, like, blew a gasket today about, like, Parros running player safety. I'm like, who do you want to run it? Like, because to me, if you go the other way and you're like, well, a guy like Paul Kariya should be in player safety. Well, sure, yeah, that's a good guy to have in there and give his 2 cents. But at the end of the day, do you want the guy who is the person being victimized by rough play to be the one running player safety? Probably not, because and then everybody's suspended. Fuck it.
You need somebody who really cares about player safety, who doesn't want to just appease the teams and the owners and the GMs, because sometimes people will decide things because they think, well, I don't want to, you know, be too harsh here, because eventually I want to have a front office job with this team or that team. There's that aspect too. So you need somebody who, you need like a Harvey Dent.
Like a white knight,
like
a white knight, yeah.
Who's going to, you know, work with Batman?
Right.
I don't know who Batman is in this metaphor, because I just thought of this like 15 seconds ago.
It's pronounced Batman.
Oh God. That was a good one.
But
you're going to see the people on the ferry. You're not going to watch the NHL. They're better than you.
So you're saying you need someone unimpeachable, because your opinion is that the Department of Player Safety is corrupted.
Yes,
right.
They're all
dirty cops.
They're Ramirez and Wirtz.
Right. Nobody
got that reference.
It's another dark night.
Like the NHL Department of Player Safety needs to be completely free from the NHL, where they can just levy suspensions and not have to worry about, like, the CBA should not have any sort of say over whether or not, like, if a guy, what was it? There was a hit in the playoffs. It wasn't the Penguin or the, yeah, it wasn't the Penguins Blue Jacket series. It was Getzlaf. Getzlaf took a run at someone in the Calgary series, maybe.
And are you sure it wasn't Corey Perry? That just seems more of a Corey Perry.
It does seem like he would be the guy that would do it.
Oh wait, are you thinking of Get Soft using a homophobic slur?
No, he was like two for two. He was both verbal and physical during the playoffs where he should have been suspended. No, somebody took a run at somebody. So the Penguins Blue Jackets series.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was a Calvert broke the stick over Kunackle's like head and shoulder and neck. Yeah. And Getzlaf did the same thing in the Flames series, but it wasn't as serious. But he probably should have gotten something for that too. But the player safety just doesn't want to ever affect anything. You know what I mean? They're always just like, they're looking for reasons to not suspend as opposed to. Just
I'm kind of
doing
a player safety mark. I think they do a good job, and I think I really like the fact. Listen,
what's your favorite player safety thing?
My favorite.
Sell the room on how good player safety is.
My favorite player safety thing is, as the video shows, this guy over here decided to put his stick on the other guy.
Patrick Berg is not from Chicago.
Patrick Berg is totally... He sounds like he's from Chicago in those videos.
What was your favorite suspension?
Right. No. Listen, my point is this. I think as hockey fans, we sometimes forget about how it used to be. We brought up Terry Sawchuk before. Goalies used to get hit in the face with a puck. Now they have masks. A scant decade ago, Colin Campbell ran player safety. And you know what we didn't have? Any fucking clue how player safety was being done. It was completely backroom, old boy bullshit. We didn't have any sunlight on it whatsoever. Remember the Bruins Canucks series? That was a Mike Murphy, Colin Campbell suspension, and good luck trying to figure out exactly how they came up with that suspension for Aaron Rome.
Isn't it weird that for 2 months during the playoffs, it seems like no one ever does anything that's worth
a suspension?
The
playoffs is a problem. I completely agree with you.
That's weird.
But at the very least, I think that they've done a good job explaining why they come to these conclusions. But I agree. The example you gave and you give about the playoffs is complete. That's when it becomes a thing where they don't want to affect a 7-game series with any sort of draconian justice. Even though
don't break your stick over a guy's head. That's a good way to not affect.
Let the boys
series.
Play, Dave.
I'm telling you, we need the Harvey Dent. We need the Harvey Dent. Gary Oldman. What was Gary Oldman's name in that movie?
Commissioner Gordon.
Gordon. They need their separate little thing to do their own thing to not have to be. They need to be unfettered from the NHL, and then things will get safer.
You don't need the NHL players swinging back and forth, going, "I've got an ace in the hole." The NHL Department of Player Safety.
If you're good at something, never do it for free. Or if you're Zach Rinaldo, if you're bad at something, you'll get paid for it somehow. Don't know how that works.
Last hockey topic, potentially for the night. This is from Elliot Friedman. Much talent, more talented than. NHL is making a very interesting rule change for the 2017-18 season, introducing a harsher penalty for one particular video review. Spoiler: it's offside. From now on, a failed offside challenge will result in a 2-minute penalty against the club asking for the review. So you ask for an offside challenge, you don't win it, you get a delay a game penalty. What say you, Dave Lozio? Do you like that rule?
You know what? You guys know I hate everything, right? This is a really good compromise. Although the only issue I have is like the Philip Forsberg game 1 of the Stanley Cup final offside where. Right. Like he wasn't offsides.
Well, that
and they overturned it. So like it's just like the idea behind the penalty is to make sure that you're not reviewing every little tiny thing where it's down to the tiniest little thing. But at the same time, it seems like arbitrary once in a while when they decide to overturn or not overturn stuff. And you don't want to have a 2-minute penalty. You want to give a 2-minute penalty when like Alain Vigneault is wasting everyone's time on an obvious not offside. That's fine. But when like it could swing a game and you want to use it, you shouldn't get it.
I thought you were going to complete that.
It's a good rule, though.
I thought you were going to complete that thought by saying putting Dan Girardi out there, wasting everybody's time. But, I mean, now he's in Tampa. There's two things about this. First of all, get rid of the offside review. Who gives a shit anymore? I think it does more harm than good. I think there needs to be a modicum of human error in officiating.
Why do you want human error?
Because I don't give a shit.
So when you watch a baseball game and the ball's like 4 feet outside and they call a strike, you're like, awesome.
Okay, well, let me respond to that by asking you, do you want robo-umps?
Yes.
Why? Oh, yeah. So boring.
Like, you want robo umps?
No, you don't.
Anybody watch the most recent Blue Jays Red Sox game? How bad was the umpire in that game?
Okay, but
right.
But isn't it fun to get mad at umpires and bad officiating? Like, isn't that part of sports? It's part of sports, exactly. Do you understand? You and the rest of the people that want robo umps. There's an entire cottage industry of those referee dolls where you can pull off his arms and legs if you get mad during the game. You're gonna fucking crash that industry if you go with robo umps. You understand that?
See, like, I hate everything, but he wants reasons to be mad at stuff. That's what I don't get. Like, you can go through life happy where you're like, oh yes. That was clearly offside. Good review. Glad that goal doesn't count. Instead, you're like, human error is going to be awesome. I don't get it.
All right, so sometimes I watch Fox News just to get angry. I mean, I don't think there's really anything wrong with that per se. I like human error. I think the goals should count. Who gives a shit about offside? But more to the point, though, on the power play thing, I think it's a good thing because here's another plank in my platform. I don't know if you all agree. Maybe you don't. I don't give a
shit. You have a platform now?
Yeah, I do. Oh, I do give a shit. That's not true. Wait, no, wait. I don't. Okay, I do give a shit.
Can you tell we planned this backstage for like hours? Like we make sure we're completely in sync.
I am a proponent of the 2 minute major power play. That every time you get a power play, in those 2 minutes you can score as many goals as you like. What say you?
Well, yeah. This is Toronto where they have a good power play. Of course, they're going to want that.
I just think that, like, for all of the complaining we do about goal scoring in the NHL and how do we get more goals, I'm like, I don't know. Make it easier to score more of them when you have more players than the other team. And whether that's a two-minute major, whether that's the thing they tried in the R&D camp where you have to actually skate the puck out of the zone instead of icing the puck when you're killing a penalty. Like, all that shit's great. Like, make that the place where the goals happen because I would take that a million times. This fan keeps blowing my notes around. I would take that a million times before I take widening the nets or all the other garbage they talk about for increased goal scoring. So 2 minute majors, what say you? Great? What about you? Great?
Boo.
All right.
See, the thing about calling icing on the power play is it's going to slow the game down. And if you ever like time it out, like team ices the puck, team goes down to get it. They bring the puck back in the zone with possession in like 8 seconds. Mm. If you decide you want to have a face-off after that and you lose the face-off, then they chip it out, they don't ice it, you're going to lose like 20, 25 seconds. It's not necessarily going to lead to more goals like everybody thinks. I don't think.
But, all right.
Yeah, thank you, one person.
Yeah, that was a very minority. I won that round.
Why are you so against the Nets being bigger?
Oh, it's horrible because it's going to take years for goalies to relearn the position. It's not fair to them
years.
At all.
Years.
What are you talking about? If you make the nets bigger, they have to relearn the position.
What do I do with this extra half foot to my left and right? I am so confused. I need 2 years to figure this out. Why would it take 2 years?
You're fundamentally changing a piece of equipment on the ice.
Like raising the mound in baseball?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They never figured that out.
Yeah, you should put an asterisk there. Huh. For all those pitchers that use the raised mound. All of them.
The forward pass really ruined football. Making the nets a half foot bigger on either side? No, the sport will never be able to handle that. It may go from the seventh most popular sport to the eighth most popular sport.
Do you think that more goal scoring would make hockey more popular back home in the States?
Yeah. I mean,
you think so? Yeah.
I admit it won't necessarily make the game better, but I mean, I can tell you guys this. No one's going to hear this. Americans are stupid. We need points. We need goals. Like seriously, like football. Football, there was 1 year in football where suddenly DBs were mugging wide receivers and people were like, we got to stop that or no one's going to watch football anymore. And they fixed it immediately. Hockey, admittedly, a bigger problem in hockey besides the nets is how you can just hook and hold and clutch and grab and all that stuff. And it's not so pre-2005-06 was the worst hockey ever. Like the 04-05 Cup Final, 03-04 was just garbage hockey, hooking and holding.
I'll have you know, Vinny LeCavalier and Jerome McGinley had a fight, sir, in the Cup Final.
One of the greatest
moments of hockey history.
But the hockey now is better than it was back then, but compared to like 07-08 to now, like there was a moment in the Predators-Penguin series where I believe it was Matt Cullen was hooking somebody on the Predators.
Oh, yeah, like
three
water
zones.
Skiing. Like water skiing behind him. Yeah.
And like that was what was bad about hockey back in the day, where if it's flowing and it's going back and forth and it's 2-1, it's great. But if it's just a bunch of guys hooking and holding and grabbing because they're not good enough to compete with the really good guys, that that's way worse than just the Nets being the same size. But if you're not going to fix that, you got to do something. I'm just saying. Call penalties that are penalties.
I'm a little hung up on you going to a foreign country and trashing Americans. I think there's a very good chance that Amazon Kindles with our books on them will be crushed by a steamroller like those Dixie Chicks albums back in the day when we get back to the States.
I was not kidding on Twitter. I'm like Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October. I will defect and live in one of your basements if I can find the reason. If I can find value for the Canadian government to keep me here, I will stay here forever.
It's a submarine, Mr. Ryan. It's filled of shemen.
There's a lot of things in here that don't respond well to bullets. His impression's better.
The greatest. Sean Connery's amazing. Let's be honest here, but there's not a single. I know, real. Fucking.
That was a good segue. Folks, let me tell you about my favorite James Bond. No, sorry. Go ahead. Do your Sean Connery bit.
Some Timothy Dalton fan in the back of the room is like gonna draws George Lazenby. No, my favorite Sean Connery moment of all time, and it's unparalleled, is in Goldfinger when he meets Pussy Galore, and she walks up. Remember this? She walks up to him on the plane, and she's like, "My name is Pussy Galore," and Connery goes, "I must be dreaming." There's nothing that compares to it. Speaking of movies, we should probably address this, as a lot of people have been asking me about it.
I can't wait to see what this is.
Colin Trevorrow is no longer the director of Star Wars Episode 9.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I mentioned this to Lozo backstage, and he's like, "Boy, fanboys must be really upset about it." I'm like, no, actually, everybody's pretty cool with it.
No, I got it backwards. Yeah, yeah, I forgot you were happy about it.
For those who don't know, he is the director of Jurassic World, which is actually a film I quite like exponentially more than a lot of people.
You made somebody gag in the audience by referencing a movie. That's
if
great.
If you watch Jurassic World again as a commentary on the pressures of making a sequel.
Oh, it's a fucking dinosaur movie. Stop. It's a movie about dinosaurs eating people, and people love that shit. That's all it is. It's a commentary on society's...
Now, in fairness, it's also about Chris Pratt training dinosaurs to do things. Yes. Dave Lozo is doing the stay motion with his hand.
Oh, yeah, I forgot this is a podcast.
Or he's firing his Iron Man repulsor beam.
No, that was me keeping the movie away from me for a second time. Saw it once.
But
that's
he's
good.
Been fired at... Well, okay, that's not true. They did fire him, but they did the thing where, like, we won't fire you. You can say that we mutually agreed to, like, have you leave. Who would you like to direct the next Star Wars movie after Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi? Is there anybody that you think should direct a Star Wars movie?
Steven Soderbergh. And have it be like an Ocean's movie where like it's a heist. Right? Like Rey is Danny Ocean. Like Rey's organizing this whole thing where they gotta steal, I don't know, what the fuck would you steal at this point? A lightsaber? I don't know.
How about the plans for the Death Star?
Oh god, that should have been Rogue One.
It was Rogue One.
No, but they should. I know that was Rogue One, you son of a bitch. First of all, I want to point out backstage that I was right, because you pointed out that this guy got left off the job. Four people clapped. No one cares who the director of Star Wars is.
People do care who the director of Star Wars is. They don't give a shit about him directing.
What if Lena Dunham was directing the next Star Wars? Would you or would you not go see it? Who would have to direct Star Wars Episode 9 for you to
right.
not see it?
No, I like the Lea and Dunham one, because then that's like there's a scene of Rey talking to her girlfriends, being like, "Guys, I don't know if I really want to go and fight Kylo Ren. He seems like a really mean guy. I don't know if I'm prepared for this. I want to divorce myself from this narrative."
Like a Variety tweet tomorrow says, "Eric Trump will direct Episode 9. There would be outrage for a day, and it would be like, "Yeah, I'll see it, I guess." Star Wars is Teflon, man. It doesn't matter who's directing it.
No, my answer on Twitter the other day was Brad Bird, the guy who directed The Incredibles and also did Tomorrowland. Now, he's great. He's amazing. He's a super geek, and he'd be great. But he's also a huge fan of Ayn Rand, And I feel like the Jedi are basically Iron Rand. They're Randian in their existence, and I feel like carrying that out to its full extent would be amazing. But also Edgar Wright, just because he would literally make $1 billion on a movie and piss the shit out of you.
Yeah, because you know what a lightsaber fight needs? A fucking Queen song playing during it. By the way, I usually don't really get too into what people, if they agree or not.
Oh,
the fact that Jay Baruchel was on team Baby Driver sucks warmed my heart. And I understand. I can tell by the clapping. I'm still in the minority, but I don't care. Jay Baruchel's on my team.
Yeah. I was like, don't you want to work with Edgar Wright? And Jay's like, nah, I never want to work with that. And Lowe's was like, what?
No, at first he was like, I don't want to say anything. And then like 4 seconds later, he was like, here's everything I hate about Edgar Wright. I was so happy.
All right. We should probably bring out our first two guests.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Edgar Wright and Ansel Elgort. Come on out to the stage, guys.
Joining us now from Sportsnet, it's Chris Johnston and Jackie Redmond. Ed, wherever you want is fine. Lozo decided that we're going to sit in the wings. I don't know why.
Were you talking about Sean Connery?
Yeah, I was. Chris, we were doing some pre-interviews backstage. I understand there's a bit of funny history with the shirt you're wearing. For the audience at home, CJ did the opening podcast with Steve Dangle and told a really funny story about his shirt, which he doesn't have to repeat here. You already fired that bullet. But it's great, though.
Wait, what's the story?
Oh, Jesus. He told you backstage. You went to Japan.
That's the truth.
How was it?
It was awesome, man. It was a great trip.
When you stayed at the hotel, was it in one of those tiny drawers that I see on TV the Japanese people sleep in?
No, it was actually the opposite of that, because luckily all the nights I've stayed in like the Pittsburgh Marriott or whatever equal status. So then when you go somewhere cool like Tokyo, they treated me like royalty. It was insane.
Do you know were you
like Bill Murray in
Lost in Translation?
That movie?
Yep. Lost in Translation, Lost in Translation, buddy.
I've never seen that movie.
What?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for Jackie Redmond to come out on the stage tonight.
The Marriott thing's amazing, by the way. Like, you know how you guys sometimes, you know, watch the media or read the media and you're like, why aren't these guys as upset as I am about this hockey thing? God forbid Marriott changes any policy regarding its point system. You will see hockey writers being like, where's my fucking torch? I'm going to Marriott headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most amazing thing.
I wonder about that. Like, as regular fans, when you see people tweeting about their Marriott points, do you want to kill yourself?
No.
Or do you just like delete them from your following?
Who actually tweets with their Marriott?
Oh, hold on. No.
Oh,
the biggest controversy was that shit where they were getting rid of desks inside of Marriott rooms or some shit.
No, oh, yeah, Mike Russo got mad about that.
Yeah, all the writers were being like, but what do I have to use? My lap?
There is nothing worse than airport and hotel point hockey Twitter journalists. It's the worst Twitter of all
time. I've never once tweeted anything like that.
No, you're good about that. Yeah,
well, because I actually don't care that much. I mean, it's nice.
That's what I like about you is you don't care. You and I have that in common. We just don't care about stuff.
Jackie,
we're too cool.
Did you do anything exciting this summer?
No. I'm just kidding. I'm going to Vegas, though, in 2 weeks for the first time ever. I've never been in my life. So that is my big, like, exciting summer plan, Las Vegas.
Vegas is okay. There's a couple things to do there. I mean,
that's what I've heard.
Vegas legit. Okay, I'll go down the rabbit. Remember Star Trek Generations?
Oh, God.
Do you remember how Malcolm McDowell tried to blow up the sun to then get back to the Nexus, the paradise that he was in?
Just say yes.
That's legitimately how I feel about Vegas. Like, I would blow up the sun if it meant I could go back and spend time there. If you get it. And that's the thing, too. Like,
so do you have any advice for me?
Well,
for
no. I want to preface this by saying...
blow up the sun.
Yeah. Well,
apparently.
It'd be great. It'd be much cooler in Vegas then. But, like, There are certain people.
Mr. Johnston, are you still here?
Hold on.
Hey,
there are certain people that go to Vegas, and it's just not for them.
And that's fine. And then there are certain people, like me and Dave, I assume, that go to Vegas and then live their lives to the, go back there again.
Well, I lost a lot of money last time I went.
Oh, did
you? Really
like a Chris Carton amount of money? Or Chris Carton is a radio host in New York who hosts the morning show on WFAN with Boomer Esiason. It came out that he owed, not anymore, right? And it came out that he owed a casino, what was it, like $2.5 million?
Yeah, like if I have to go to the ATM while I'm in a fucking casino, I feel bad about myself. Never mind going to the credit and being like, can I get like a half a mil? Like, why doesn't he have friends that stop him? You have to have friends at that point that are like, Chris, no. Yeah. I mean, I'm an asshole. I know better than to do that.
I just don't even, I'm with you. I can't even fathom getting to that point. Like, because if I'm down
playing?
2 million, oh, I can understand this. If I'm down 2 million, I'm probably finding $500,000 to put on red, right? Just to see if I can get it back. What's the long? What's have you ever been really down large at a casino?
Not crazy big.
Not crazy big, right? Okay, so
a couple hundred bucks at the most.
Vegas advice for Jackie Redman. Don't go down $2.5 million at any of the casinos.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Got it.
If you like your fingers.
Where are you staying?
MGM.
I know.
I probably shouldn't have answered that.
Lizzo just bristled.
Well, because your Vegas experience is tinged by where you stay.
Is it most really, though?
Most people don't move. Like, you're gonna, you'll be there for
just,
3 days. You won't even know what happened.
Right. No, young people actually go places. People like us are just like, I'm going to stay in the MGM for the entire 4 days I'm here.
There's a restaurant.
So yeah.
There's
a craps table here. Why would I play craps anywhere else?
I love craps, actually.
Vegas
I just
craps.
Learned how to play talking. In Chicago like 6 weeks ago, and I did not want to leave the table.
Right.
But I was only good when I was rolling the dice.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I wanted no part of it at all.
Do we have any craps fans in the audience? Round of applause. No? Yeah?
Yeah.
For those who know the rules, chances that Dave Lozo bets against the shooter? Rather high.
I don't even know what that means.
On craps, you can either bet on the shooter to make up the point, or you can say they're going to fail.
Know what I did? This is boring. You guys paid for this. You shouldn't hear this. But so like in craps, if somebody rolls a five, that becomes the point. So if he rolls it again, everybody wins. But
right.
You can bet certain numbers after that. And I kept betting 6 and 9 the rest of the time. I swear to God. And I won. Like, you'd be surprised how often 6 and 9 come up. And
well, 6 is one of the highest probabilities.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I didn't understand that either. Like, I was betting like $5.
So I'm a better craps player than you is basically what we just discovered.
Sure. I just wanted to keep saying nice after every roll. I am an adult, by the way. It's so sad.
Are you 40 yet?
November.
Ooh.
I'm basically 40.
That's like real adulting. 40.
Yeah.
No.
I remember seeing that Mike Gundy Ohio State video like 12 years ago where he's like, I'm 40. I'm a man. I'm like, you're 40. And now I'm that guy. It's so sad.
Yeah. CJ, we're both sort of a Paul Rudd, this is 40. I mean, we're very... No, we're not. He's ageless. You already talked so much about the Leafs. I feel like I should ask Jackie, what are your expectations for this season about the Leafs?
Fun with a capital F. They're going to be fun to watch. I think last year obviously was super exciting for everybody. They exceeded expectations. This year a little bit more pressure. But I'm really, really excited to see Patrick Marleau on the Leafs. Like, I think he's going to fit in. Yeah, right? Mm. Come on. Patty Marleau.
We should discuss that.
Let's discuss it.
Actually, Marleau died of old age 4 hours ago.
And still younger than you, though.
I mean, I kind of like it as sage advice guy for this team. I just don't know what to expect.
That's the guy you want in the room telling you how to win in the playoffs is Patrick Marleau.
All right, Roenick.
Don't play the Kings. Thanks, Patty.
Hey, step one, get on Joe Thornton's line. Is he here? Fuck. All right. How long is the contract? 3 years? What the fuck? I think he'll be fine this year. I can't speak to the next 2 years. But the plan is never that he's going to play 3 years here, right? That's going to be a Lamoriello special. Like, he's going to shoot him into the sun or something in the third year of the contract, right?
Well, the guys down the front row already named him a special player development for next year. So they're drafting the press release right now. So no chance.
No, I agree that, well, I mean, I think the Leafs will be lowercase fun with a period at the end like that band. But I think they'll be a playoff team.
They'll be a playoff team for sure.
The topic came up today. I was talking to some people at Yahoo about this. Like, could they be considered a cup contender? And I feel like, no, hold up, they're in the Eastern Conference.
Well, technically, Ottawa was one goal away from the Stanley Cup final, so anyone can go to the Cup final at this point.
That's not even technically. Like, they were actually one goal away.
They were literally...
It was very literal.
And then Chris Kunitz scored, and you were like, oh, this team is bullshit the whole time. They let Chris Kunitz end their season. Oh, God. Yeah, Toronto, like, Pittsburgh at some point is going to hit the wall. I mean, they're playing, they're going to try and play 12 rounds in 3 years. Why not?
Ottawa and Nashville would have been on, like, I can't even.
The NHL would have folded if that was the Stanley Cup final.
There's a station on my cable tier that has, like, origami. It would have been on, like, the Origami Network.
We now interrupt this swan for the Ottawa Senators and the Nashville Predators in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup final.
So I'm happy it didn't happen. I think that I heard you and Dangle before talking about the Drew Doughty thing when somebody asked about that. Like, I really feel like that's the one thing they lack. They're three lines deep. They've got a good goalie. I think he proved his mettle last year. They obviously have a coach who will tell you he's the best coach in hockey.
He made that made that cap series go longer than it needed to.
All right, but like I think that the one thing that they lack is that 23 to 25 minute a night shutdown D man.
Shorter than it needed to.
Unless you're Morgan Riley, man.
The Penguins lack that this year too, though.
Well, all right. But they've got Sid and Gino.
Right.
And
you know what the issue is? Is that for 4 years, we watched the Blackhawks and the Kings win every year. So you thought you needed X, Y, and Z to win all the time. And then the Penguins were like, we got Ron Hainsey. And now I think the rules change it's more wide open. But it's not the NBA where it's like two teams can win it.
But
now
I think history repeats itself because then like people saw the Red Wings and they're like, fuck, Chris Osgood. We can have anything out there. We can have a rubber duck out there.
Okay, who's Toronto's Nick Lidstrom?
Still waiting.
That's what I mean.
But
yeah.
Hey, Brandon Shanahan is the owner, president, whatever the fuck. It could be Nick Lidstrom.
They're going to win the cup in the next 3 years. Is my soft, safe, really,
listen,
really.
Listen,
you're playing in the crowd here.
I wasn't sure if that was sarcasm or
not. No, for real.
Let's put your balls on the chopping block.
Wait, later.
The Oilers or the Leafs win the cup first?
I just want to see them play each other, and then everybody wins. Stanley Cup Final, Oilers, Leafs, like, let's go.
Well,
Jackie's on brand right now.
Yeah, Jackie is. Well, how about an all-Canadian Final Four? Ottawa, Toronto.
How about only Canadian teams in the playoffs exclusively?
All right, how about this? How about this? Who do you think wins first? Let's ask the Canadians on the panel. Edmonton first or Toronto first? Pick a team, you cowards.
Somebody in the back just screamed, we know where you live. That's rude. That's rude. Let them be honest.
And if they say Edmonton, you can follow them home pretty easy. It's not hard.
CJ, you tackle this one first. you want me to go out
Jackie,
first?
The people have spoken.
Oh,
you must answer
God.
This question.
I'm going to go with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Because I know my audience.
Uh-huh.
A, that's the number one reason. And I think that right now they have better goaltending than the Edmonton Oilers.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Some shade at Cam Talbot.
Suck it, Cam Talbot.
Cam.
I'm also going to go with the Leafs.
Yes.
But it's because I have more concern. I think the Oilers have more just awful contracts. They obviously have the best player among the two teams. But I think they're going to get deep six by their what they've built around that group, and they're in the Western Conference. I think the Leafs.
That's a good point.
They have Chris Russell. He's going to block every shot Austin Matthews takes.
Yeah, and they have Milan Lucic.
Which is great for your fantasy team if you're going to lose block shots.
If you're
going to
lose a series, Milan Lucic will punch defeat in the face, and then you'll win the series. Look, you guys are all wrong. Connor McDavid is Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby in year three played for a cup and lost. Sidney Crosby in year four played for a cup and won. The Oilers are going to win the cup in the next 2 years before Toronto does.
Why isn't Austin Matthews Sidney Crosby?
Maybe he's a rich man's Jack Eichel. You know this, Dave.
Oh my. Don't look at me. This is Don't expect me to jump on.
Do you? I guess you're the tier or tiebreaker.
No, Toronto, Toronto for sure.
Before Edmonton,
for sure. They're deeper down the middle. They're
an outlier.
On the back end.
This is a message to my friends in Edmonton. Yes, I did say that you were all idiots for celebrating making the playoffs as much as you did. But I give you full permission, Edmonton, to celebrate as much as you want when you win a cup before Toronto. There, I've said it.
Wow, yeah. Way to play the room. These guys paid money to come in here. Like, just tell them what they want to hear. They're not going to care. They're not going to remember this in 3 years. Boy, yeah.
I see no reason why Wendell Clark shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Who has the most sacred untouched status in Toronto? Is it Wendell or is it Dougie?
Dougie.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Austin!
Oh, yeah, I mean, listen, I did bury the lead there. I'm obviously fine if Toronto wins the cup because, oh, the moment when an American is given credit for finally breaking this horrific streak. Maybe. Listen, we're never gonna win a fucking gold, but it'll come close.
Oh, what is that shit? Don't kowtow that much to the room. U.S. is gonna win gold if we ever get on the NHL guys. Who cares about this year?
Jackie, what do you think about the Olympics and us not being there this year? By us, I mean the NHL.
You know what? At first, I actually was really disappointed because obviously, being a Canadian hockey fan, the Olympics is something that we all are very excited about. But I think it makes it more intriguing because I think every year we go in and we're like, well, Canada's got the best team. Obviously, they have the most talent.
Obviously.
The Americans can't compete. They don't know how to put a roster together. I mean, they don't.
Boy.
Phil Kessel has 2 Stanley Cups is all I'm saying.
You know Lou Lamoriello's American, right?
We're talking about the Olympics right now.
The only way you could possibly play to the room more is if you're like, I'll cover all your tabs.
But I'm
excited. She's not, by the way.
Shut up. You know what, though? Like, I actually am very intrigued to see what happens and who plays. And it's open. Like, who's going to win? Who's going to be the favorite team with no NHLers? Like, who's
Canada.
The favorite? Is it still Canada?
Russia.
Yeah, probably Russia.
Think so?
Russia.
Do you think any NHL players are still going to bail at all?
Not a chance.
None? Not even
one? Ovi?
I don't think Ovi's gone. I really don't.
I believe there might be the chance that an Alej Shmovechkin shows up with a really weird mustache for the first day of Russia camp.
People in the room, are you guys going to stay up and watch the Olympics with no NHL guys there?
Dude.
Yeah.
I am.
People cared about the Star Wars director, I think.
my take on the Olympics is that, first of all, if you've read the stories, the IOC, fuck them. They're the reason why this whole thing happened, as much as you guys want to hate Batman for it. It's the IOC's greed. But I think the tournament's going to be great because the one thing I think the Olympics should do that it doesn't do when the NHL goes is it should be the launching pad for new stars, for new names. The person from Canada or the United States that scores a game-winning goal in the Olympics, hopefully a young player, comes to the NHL with that cachet. And I think that's a really positive thing about the NHL not being there. The negative thing is, as we said, I think, on the podcast last week.
What happens if it's a 30-year-old who plays in Austria?
That'd be fine.
He's gonna go back
what
to
if it's
Austria?
Shane Doan?
Ryan Malone, over to Shane Doan, back to Ryan Malone, they score! Oh, wait, they're from different countries. That wouldn't make any sense at all, actually.
Yeah, Jerome McGinn, that would be awesome, right? To finally get the credit for a game-winning goal in the Olympics.
It's a hell of a pass.
Steve Dangle named his dog after that.
He named his dog after what?
Iggy.
Oh, I thought he named it Ryan Miller Shame. But that's a little bit wordy.
Or Don Koharski. Who was the referee that set up the goal for Canada?
Oh, wait. Was it? Who was it?
It was the referee on the boards that broke up the cycle. You guys, I mean, it's the only way you can win, I guess, but that's
Boo.
Fine.
I wish the game was in Russia because they would have threatened to turn him into soap like that guy. It was in this, remember the dude who didn't call Jonathan Quick for a delay of game for knocking the net off with a skate? And there was a protest in Russia with signs that in Russian said, "Please, we're going to turn the referee into soap." So honestly, like in Fight Club, like they were going to make him into soap. Yeah, I'm all about the Olympics. I think it's going to be great, and I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun. I'll stay up to watch the games. No, you're not? Really not?
No, I don't want to watch Ryan Malone play hockey ever again.
To complete my thought, the thing that's going to suck is when you, well, like I said last week, like when you turn on, when you flip to, you know, it's USA Canada in like the Olympic semifinals, and the rest of the world is watching, and the lead story on NHL.com is like, Ottawa and Tampa, the Battle of the Atlantic.
They're going to ignore the Olympics like you would never.
Like
imagine.
No one's business.
Which they should. It's going to.
No one's business.
Here's the thing about hockey that I've always thought is the NHL, as far as like the major sports leagues go, is not as fun as the other ones. I would say you'd rather watch them, and all the other available hockey is. It's not as good, obviously, because there's not as many elite players, but it's more fun.
Like there's literally a team. Hockey, there's literally hockey. A team in Finland called Jokerit.
Yeah, and it's named after Heath Ledger's character in the movie. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we all know this.
Right.
But like when you come to Canada, the first time I came to Canada, it was like in April, or it was for the playoffs, and like the first segment on TSN SportsCenter was like whatever, you know, the one Canadian team in the playoffs or whatever. It was like, you know, Ottawa was down 2-0 in the first round and whatever it was, and then the next segment was like, here's what's going on in the OHL. Junior hockey plays up here. They care about junior hockey. And I just feel like, right. Like, people are like, oh, man, Guelph versus Sarnia. I gotta see the highlights from that game. And there's nothing wrong with that because, like, I understand. It's like early season NHL hockey where, like, it's back and forth. It's fun. And I think the NHL suffers because it's not as fun.
Right.
And they don't give a shit because they're just like, this is the way we play the game. It's tough. And
in fairness, we give a shit about junior hockey too now because we can win at it. We didn't know that.
No.
Americans are all about, like, if we can find out we win something, we're all like, fucking what? What the fuck? What, badminton in the Olympics? We have a team that could win bronze? Well, let me turn on badminton. Shuttlecock.
Like, I love giving Canadian people shit. I do not care. When U.S. wins the World Juniors, like, it's a two-week high school tournament. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Did you watch the gold medal game?
Did you just praise their love of junior hockey and then just drop trow and shit all over their love of junior hockey?
It's
in
great
the same breath?
It's great to, like, it's great. It's better to watch, but, like... Yeah,
it's not the Frozen Four exactly, and for those four teams,
Frozen Four.
Can you name
bad.
Any of the four teams in the Frozen Four last year? That's a good question.
Denver,
something Boston.
One of the Dakotas. I don't know.
One of the Dakotas. I don't know.
Some fucking team from.
When have you ever known South Dakota to be a hockey
Bemidji
power?
State?
Yeah. Right, isn't like, you know, Alcorn, Bemidji.
Bemidji State's the Beavers. Tech. I figured that wouldn't, you know?
I don't know.
No? All right.
Let's ask Chris about the draft age.
Yeah, Chris, you broke the story.
Because he wrote a story about
that
this.
The Pope's letter to the NHL was covering up the fact that the whole thing is a sham to try to lower the draft age, or raise the draft age, rather. Tell us about that.
What an intro. Hey. Do you know what?
We do great segues on this podcast.
I listened to your last podcast. Did Nerdist not pay you guys? Was that the deal?
Well,
we figured we were going to get that question in the Q&A. Because
you really pointed the listeners in that direction, but you didn't say it out loud. And I feel it ties in well here because
Let's say your buddy owes you $20. And it's 2015.
And they're going to give you the $20
and
every 3 months.
Let's say it's today, and you still haven't gotten that $20.
You've gotten like $9 from your buddy, and your buddy's like, oh, no, we're looking into where the other $11
is. You're like, I'm pretty sure that you owe me 20. And they're like, well, here's 9.
And you're like, I'm pretty sure you have $11 because that one guy like does a
so
fucking post TV talk
half?
Show for every TV on show on TV.
Less than half of what you're supposed to get?
Right around it.
Chris, what I'm trying to say is that when you do a ZipRecruiter ad with as much gusto as I did it, you expect some compensation for that. ZipRecruiter.com.
So I guess then you guys feel this topic then, because what's not stated essentially in moving the draft age to 19 is that money you make as an 18-year-old, you never make.
It's gone forever.
This motherfucker just segued.
Yeah.
Did you see that shit? Oh, my
God. Chris knows what he's doing. He's been
I was worried about you guys. I'll listen to that podcast.
I'm fine.
I actually live in Greg's basement now because I haven't gotten paid. But it's nice,
The weird thing is I live in an apartment, so I don't even know what's going on in the basement, but he just moved in. It's weird.
Like, he brings me bagel bites once a day. It's fine.
Do you think the NHL obviously sells the idea that this would be beneficial to the league? Would it be beneficial to the league, you think, to give them a little bit more seasoning?
I think it'd be beneficial to teams because they'd make fewer mistakes, because they get one more year to evaluate kids, and they're making slightly fewer guesses. I'm not sure it's better for anybody, though. I mean, look, it's already... We could have a different discussion. Why is there a draft?
Yeah, right?
I mean...
Because there are teams in America that don't want you to have territorial rights like you used to have.
Right.
The Panthers are like, yeah, there should be no... Wait, what the fuck? No, there should totally be a draft.
Right. I get it for spreading talent around a league, but if you're a player, it's kind of a raw deal.
It is.
You don't get...
Well, That and the indentured servitude of restricted free agency and everything. I mean, it's for a young player, you're boned until you're 27, basically.
By the way, the headline here is Chris Johnson thinks Austin Matthews got a raw deal for living in Toronto.
Oh, wow. My God. I mean, we just completed the what if thing on Puck Daddy, but like, what if there was territorial rights? Would he have signed in Arizona?
For sure.
Really? Why would you? It's like John Tavares. Why would you want to waste the first 10 years of your career not doing anything?
Have you been to Scottsdale, man?
Is it good?
It's a pretty good life.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's his team.
Like, if sunlight hits me, it does bad things. So I probably wouldn't want to live in Scottsdale. I'd be dead inside. I'd be dead before the All-Star break. Just go outside.
You could go to Vegas every weekend if you live in Scottsdale.
That's a good point.
I would blow my entire salary on SP75 sunblock. It wouldn't all work right out well for me.
We got to move it along.
Maybe Nerdist would give you the other half, and you could.
I wanted to ask Jackie, this is a promo time. You have Ring Talks coming up?
Ring Talks, yeah, next Wednesday. If that's the 13th, that's the day.
And this is the Bachelor...
Yeah, what's the best ring? No, is it engagement, or is it wedding, or is
where
it
are you going
Stanley Cup?
No, it's about wrestling, right?
It's about wrestling, yeah. Smash Wrestling, Jimmy Corderas is going to be there. We're going to talk to some of the wrestlers, get some behind-the-scenes stories, because I don't know if you know this, but wrestlers lead very interesting lives.
It's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do. I was going to end this segment by asking everybody their favorite wrestler of all time, Dave Lozo. Hey, there's your first sigh of the night.
Don't act like you don't have one.
Favorite wrestler. Come back to me. I'll give you a good one.
All right.
Come back.
Jackie?
For me, I always go back and forth between two people, but okay. I'm going to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
An excellent choice.
Yes.
CJ?
The Ultimate Warrior.
Why the Ultimate Warrior?
The
tassels.
The tassels.
His he definitely could take more steroids than everybody. I would go Macho Man Randy Savage.
All right. I'm going to go AC Slater. Yeah.
Your favorite Greco-Roman wrestler.
State champion,
I guess.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Bayside High Zone.
Think about it.
That took you a long time to get that one out.
I was trying to find a TV pop culture wrestler, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't watch TV anymore. Did anybody wrestle on Friends? No.
John Favreau. Well, he was an Ultimate Fighter on.
No,
Friends,
he was
right?
Actually in a sport. He wasn't pretending to.
Schwimmer wasn't a wrestler anymore.
He wasn't an actor.
Sports entertainment.
Schwimmer was never like they want me to get into the squared circle. No, never. No.
Favreau was like, "What you gonna do, brother?" When I call you after I get your phone number after the bar. That's after a crossover to the other thing he was in with the movie.
Oh, you talking about Swingers?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a great note to
have. I have no wrestling material.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jackie Redmond and Chris Johnson.
I was
going to
say that sounded like a good Hulk Hogan, but you had no idea what you were doing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank
we have
you
to
so
move
much.
On to a thing.
I love your podcast. Keep it going.
Oh, thank you, CJ. All right. God, we're so...
Are we like super far behind? What time is it?
I don't even... Yeah, we're fucked.
You're looking right at your phone. How much time we have?
It's like 9:30.
Oh, 9:30. So we have...
Not a lot of time.
20 minutes.
Mark.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get your ass up here. Who wants to take on Mark in Schlemcode, a.k.a...
Everyone's pointing
game.
At a guy
we're
in a Whalers jersey. Whalers jersey guy.
Whalers jersey guy is being pointed at. Get your ass up here. Have a seat. Have a seat. Mark, how do you pick up a mic, buddy? We got enough mics this time.
Welcome to the stage.
So for those who are watching at home, Mark, how do you say your last name?
Carvalho.
Mark Carvalho is wearing a, what is that, an Aginla jersey?
No, it's a Lanny McDonald.
A Lanny McDonald flame jersey.
I didn't want all the Leafs fans to hate me, so.
And what was your name again, Whalers guy?
Matt.
Use the mic, buddy.
Matt.
Matt, what's your last name?
Skeevy.
Matt is wearing a Jean-Sebastien Jaguar Hartford Whalers jersey, which manages to make
it's
me so happy.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And so angry at the same time. All right, I'm gonna stand up so you guys can't like look what I'm doing.
I think the Flames acquired him from Hartford, eh? Like, I think they sent like Andrew. They got Andrew Castles and they sent Gary Roberts over. That's what it was. Yes.
All right.
No heckling the contestants, please. Until they mess up, and then you can heckle.
All right, boys. Schlemcode, aka the roster game, is a game that we love to play on the podcast, and by that I mean we did it at the Brooklyn show.
Schlemko.
For those who don't know, the roster game is a game in which we pick teams from the history of the National Hockey League, and then these guys have to go back and forth naming players from those teams until one can't do it. And by that I mean they die from exhaustion.
Or it's over in like two names because they don't know this team because
Steve Dangle is backstage. He took part in this game on the Merrick vs. Wyszynski live show. Last year, 2 years ago, and he it was oh fuck was it terrible. So even my point is that the meaning of that fable is that even the smartest among us can be horrible at this game. So no worries if the things don't go well.
I won it last year when we did the team.
Okay, well, I mean, or it could go really good.
Well, actually, I got all 27 all players right. from that season.
As you know, we are on the cusp of the 2017-18 season, which means we take a nostalgic look back at the 2007-2008 season.
2007-2008?
No, we're not doing Leafs. We've been there. Been there, done that. We're doing the two teams that vied for the Stanley Cup that year. The Detroit Red Wings and the Pittsburgh Penguins, beginning with the 2007-2008 Detroit Red Wings. That's our first game.
It's best of three, by the way.
Best of three. Should mention that. We're doing any player that played for them throughout the season. So not just playoff guys, but any player who played a game for them throughout the season. So let's begin with you, Mark. You are the champion. Rock on and give me a name of any Red Wing from that team.
And if you, and by the way, if you guys need a lifeline, just ask me and I'll give you a name and you can decide if whether or not that
to use it.
A name on that team.
All right, rock on.
So I'll go with the obvious, Nicholas Lidstrom. There we go.
Yeah, it turns out he was on that team. All right.
Dominic Hasek.
That is correct, Dominic Hasek.
Then I'll go with Chris Osgood.
Chris Osgood is correct.
Henrik Zetterberg.
Pavel Datsyuk.
Oh, shit. Yeah, those are both right.
Thomas Holmstrom.
Kirk Mulpey.
Oh, my God.
Boy, Mark is just like...
No, Mulpey's right. Mulpey's right.
No, Mark, it's like those spelling bee kids when the right, one kid knows ahead, right going. Away, he just goes right into it.
I am Indian, so, you know, I got that going.
That is so... it's not... We didn't say Math B. Go ahead.
Brian Rafalski?
Correct.
Oh, good one. Chris Draper.
Correct.
Boy, a lot of oohs and ahs in the crowd tonight about this one. All right, keep going.
Dallas Drake.
Dallas Drake is correct.
Oh, really?
If oddly obscure.
You just staggered Mark. Mark looks a little...
No. Darren McCarty was on that team, so...
Darren McCarty was on that team, yeah?
Yep.
Damn.
Let's see here.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh. Let's go. Come on now. I'm going to have to put the clock on you. 5, 4, 3. Say any name. 2, 1. Any Red Wing whatsoever. Quickly. Any Red Wing who ever played for the Red Wings.
Say a name.
Gordie Howe.
Yeah. Nah? Putting up the. All right. Congratulations once again.
Yes.
You've run the first game of the three. You could have gone Chris Chelios.
Oh. Yeah.
You could have gone Cronwall. Yeah. Franzen.
Yeah.
Jimmy Howard was on the roster too at some point.
All the guys that steered the ship right into the iceberg still today.
the amazingly high price Justin Abdelkader. All right, let's go to the team they smited in the final, the 2007-2008 Pittsburgh Penguins. All right, let's rock it out. Let's go with the guy who needs a little help now, the Whalers dude first. Let's go with you first on this one.
We'll take Sidney Crosby just to get out of the way.
I'm sorry.
Is that correct?
He didn't really play, but he was there. He caught a ring.
That's correct.
Evgeny Malkin.
Also correct.
Marian Hossa.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's correct. He wasn't a traitor yet.
He played for Pittsburgh, lost the cup, and then he went to Detroit to win the cup, and he lost to Pittsburgh.
A little history lesson for all of you.
Then he went to Chicago and finally won a cup.
I was actually going to go for that, too. So. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Marc-Andre Fleury is correct.
Flower. Do you remember playing for the 07-08 Penguins?
Mark Recchi, I believe, was on that team.
That is correct.
Oh.
Is he on the team, or did he leave by this point? I'm trying to think.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
All right.
Screw it, I'll go for it. Was Gary Roberts on that team? Nope. No, he was on.
Gary Roberts was on that team.
Was he?
Yes! Oh, nice guess.
Oh, thank God.
Wow, I didn't think he was still on that team either.
I mean, there's a few names I probably would have gone to before.
Brooks Orpik.
Correct. That's one of those names that I would have gone to before.
Oh, really? Okay.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Oh.
Oh, shit! He's on the ropes!
No, I'm just trying to think.
Knees are wobbly.
He's like Floyd Mayweathering right now. He's just like... he's keeping everybody interested.
Rope-a-doping because he's got money on a decision.
No, I'm trying to remember if Chris Letang was on that team by then.
In French, the Tang.
Was he or was he not?
I'll go for Chris Letang.
Correct.
Yes.
Go ahead. Letang, yeah.
Don't let the hecklers get to you. Just focus.
I believe it was the great Chris Christopherson who said to Sinead O'Connor, "Don't let the bastards get you down." Remember that when she got booed for ripping the...
I have no idea.
The picture of the Pope to tie it back to the beginning of the show.
Was Bill Guerin on that team?
Bill Guerin was not on that team.
Oh,
I'm
right.
Sorry. Bill Guerin was on the cup
next
winning
year.
Team.
See,
oh boy. Well, that does it. There it is. A sweep of sweeps.
Good game, man.
It was a good effort.
I did not have another one after that. So.
We're not going to do it because we are pressed on time, but the tiebreaker was the 07-08 Tampa Bay... Oh, fuck it. The 07-08 Tampa Bay Lightning. For shits and giggles, Mark's our champion again.
I saw the list. I still can't remember.
You'll defend the crown next time we come here. You can begin the 07-08 Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay, Vincent LeCavalier.
Correct.
Martin St. Louis.
Correct.
Oh, they were so bad that year.
You still have two other people that you might remember from that team.
Crap, was he still there at that point? Was Dan Boyle still there?
Dan Boyle's correct.
Okay.
There's one of
that
guy.
Was more of a question than a...
Dan Boyle. Oh, sorry. Dan Boyle.
Yeah, correct.
Mike Smith.
Fuck, that's correct.
Oh. Dwayne Rolston was not there. He's not my guest because I think he came over
was
the next
in
year.
Edmonton?
But
no, he was in Minnesota, no. Wasn't he?
Because I'm thinking in my head. Maybe another name will come up. Yeah.
All right.
Dude, I'm not going to use that. But
what do you think?
Oh, crap.
I'll give you a countdown because we have to move on. 5, 4... Three,
you got me, man.
Two, one. All right, there you go. The other guy you might have... There's two people that I actually probably would have remembered was obviously Brad Richards.
Oh, that's right.
And Vinny Prospel was still there as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Now, would you have remembered that Blair Jones was on the team?
Oh, yeah.
Probably not. Anyway, thanks, boys. Congratulations to Mark.
Good stuff, boys.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, guys. Is Myrtle back there?
Is our third guest here?
Is he here? All right, let's bring out James Myrtle from The Athletic. CJ told me that you were worried that we forgot you.
Well, it sounded like you did.
No. We had to get through a shitty game show segment.
If we don't spend 10 minutes on the Star Wars director from 2 years from now, we can't do a podcast. So we're sorry. That's our fault.
James Myrtle is, of course, the what's your official title there? Like, are you like the
editor
of the Athletic Toronto, but also like hockey? I don't even know. Guru
Canada
hockey. Thing. How have things been? Pretty good.
Busy.
What's been your favorite thing about it so far?
The response has been awesome. You know, yeah. It's neat being able to take something that people are super passionate about in Toronto and just bring that across Canada.
Can I stop you there?
Bring it to Minnesota, St.
Guys,
Louis.
You've heard at least 10 seconds of what James has to say. I'm afraid you're going to have to pay a little extra.
Sorry.
To hear the rest.
Paywall right here. Please slide your credit card through my...
Insert your credit card into Dave's backside.
I got 4 more this month.
Oh, we have some subscribers here, so you can actually continue.
Yeah, how many people in here are subscribed?
Look at that shit. I would say, Myrtle, the Athletic Army is larger than the Dangle Navy.
Whoa.
We're having a sale.
Somebody said we're the same people. That's probably accurate. Anyways, sorry about that. I was playing a joke.
It's like the worst Game of Thrones scene ever, where it's the Myrtle Army versus the Dangle Navy. Who's the dragon? Is it Steve Simmons?
Tyler Dello is the ice dragon. joking aside, the job you've done there in building this thing as quickly as you have and the insane amount of hockey writing talent that you have at The Athletic now is something to be applauded. Please applaud him.
Please clap.
It's insane. I pay to subscribe for something, which is more than I can say about any pay-per-view I've watched in the last 6 years. So, you're doing great.
What about porn?
Porn?
Who pays for porn?
What are you, my dad?
That guy.
But honestly, like, how did you have a number in mind, and how
the
far has that number
hub.
been supplanted by the people who have subscribed?
How rich are you now?
I would say probably yes. I would say it's doing better than we thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to know with this when you, like, when I left the Globe and I went to the Athletic, I said to my wife, it's like, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know if nobody's going to sign up and we're just going to be writing for nobody. And, you know, I made them give me a 2-year deal because I didn't know. And I didn't know if, like, they were just going to be paying me to do nothing for a while.
That is the dream.
I had no idea if it was going to work. So this is kind of like tripling down on what we did in Toronto. And I don't know, is it going to work? Was Toronto like a special circumstance? We'll see.
What's your gauge for success at this point? Like, is it just putting Steve Simmons out of business? Because that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Have you read about Post Media?
Well, I'm just saying.
I don't think we have to worry. No.
If you actually hire the hot dog vendor and have them write a hot dog comic, that'd be awesome.
Could be a tell-all. Yeah.
No, seriously though, what at what point will you feel like this is going to work long term?
Maybe when we're around for a few years, I think.
So you're just kind of like feeling like it's still in that early stage where you're not sure.
Totally, it definitely is in the early. I mean, how not? Yeah, it definitely is.
Like you're not like right now. You're not like I'm set until 2026.
There's no chance. Yeah.
This business sucks, huh?
I would say we're probably going to be around 2 years, but I mean, what we're doing right now when we're scaling up, we're kind of taking a big risk and making a bet, and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've said this on Twitter a couple times, but like, it's so satisfying that The Athletic is literally being built on the back of hockey. I mean, like, it is. I mean, like,
it's very true.
The Canadian expansion is hockey centric.
In Chicago, hockey blew them away and how successful it was.
Right.
So the guys are in California. One of the founders is from Philly. He's a big hockey fan. His favorite player is Mikhail Renberg. When you see him, all he talks about is Mikhail Renberg. Legion of Doom. And the other guy's from Cincinnati, knows nothing about hockey. He didn't know who Don Cherry was when I met him. He had no idea.
Should anybody know who Don Cherry was?
Well, he didn't know. He didn't.
Come on.
He knew literally nothing about hockey. He knew, like, Wayne Gretzky.
You're not Don Cherry, this guy.
So they didn't get into this to dominate hockey.
But it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening, isn't it?
Also, I would really like to meet that other guy to tell me, you know, Renberg made Lindros. I don't know if you guys know that. But,
if Scott Stevens wasn't such a dirty player, the Flyers would have won Stanley Cup.
I don't know why Renberg. I have no idea why.
It's so random. He was a great Leaf. When you do now, like Lozo brought this up, but I am curious. Like, are you as the mastermind behind The Athletic Toronto? Like, are you looking to do something different than what the other media in this town does for the Leafs, or are you looking to do their thing better than them so you conquer them and get the business?
I don't know, both maybe. I don't know.
Like,
I think we're different. I think we're quite a bit different. I mean, you look at our staff, and I think we only have, I mean, last year in Toronto, I think we only had, I don't think we had anyone over 40 years old. Maybe Fitzy probably just turned 40. Like, we went with a really young staff. We brought in some younger people to write for us. You see, like, you're still young. How old are you?
I don't want to talk about it. I'm so
As long
old.
As you keep wearing your hat, you know, backwards like Steve Buscemi and you know Allison.
I'm old Ken Griffey Jr.
You know how old this has made me feel? Like, people on staff are 21, 22 years old, and they're calling me dad, and they're making all... Yeah, no, I know.
Wait, are they calling you dad, or are they calling you dad?
I don't know. And I try and... No.
There's a thing. You know?
Is it like Ivanka calling Donald daddy, or is it a different thing?
You had to make it weird.
She did, and he talked about it. It was so fucking strange. Oh, by the way, since the last time I was here, my entire country has been taken over by Nazis and hurricanes.
Well,
I don't know how that happened.
We'll take you up here, Greg. You can come up.
I would love it.
You'd fit in here. We still need someone in Winnipeg. No, I'm serious. I don't have anyone in Winnipeg yet.
Well, I have news for you, James. There are no parks in Winnipeg. The entire city is underground. It is like a city of mole men.
Winnipeg?
I need 4 years and 7 figures. Or 3 years and 6 figures. I can negotiate on this. I'm flexible.
What do you think's the... I mean, like, you seem like you've got everybody in place. I mean, has Winnipeg been a sticky wicket as far as somebody to work there? Or? Like, what's been the toughest city to
I don't know if I want to call Winnipeg any names. We want to make sure we get the right people. So in some places it was easier than others.
Right. Because Gary Lawless went to Vegas. That would have been the easiest thing to do.
It would have been an easy decision, right?
Yeah.
What's your life like now compared to what it was 2 years ago? Is it just day-to-day, just more managerial stuff as opposed to, like, do you miss the writing as much as you were doing it? Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up a sad thing.
I mean, I wrote a lot last year, but it was kind of like doing two or three jobs at once in the beginning of this. Yeah. I would be like on the road in an airport, like editing a story, and then crazy.
When you're walking around Toronto, do you ever get paper cuts from people throwing their resumes at you? I have to imagine it's got to hurt at some point, right?
They don't seem to print them out. they're not showing up in my mailbox.
How many, what's the average number of people pitching you to say, I want to work at The Athletic per day, do you think?
It's a lot.
How do you feel about the fact that the I'm working at the Athletic letter has become almost a meme in hockey writing? Like, yeah. when somebody's like, I'm no longer working at my publication, well, did you everybody's see... like, oh, fuck it. They're going to... That used to be how tragic for their family. Now it's like, oh, they're just going to the Athletic.
Yeah. We have a bunch of them up tomorrow, too. There was some debate over, does everyone get a letter? And I don't know. We weren't sure what to do with it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's...
Did you see, like, Jonas announced he was joining us today. Jonas Siegel,
he's right.
He's going to be our main Leafs guy because I can't write as much as I used to. But Jonas was like, I don't want to do a letter. And he didn't even want to tweet it out. I was texting him today and I was like, well, how come you haven't tweeted out yet? And he's like, I thought you were going to do it. And I was like, what? No, just do it. And then his tweet was like, I'm joining the Athletic to cover the Leafs. And that was it. And it was just, it was very Jonas.
Lozo and I briefly considered doing a Mad Libs of an Athletic letter. Because there's some
similarities, aren't there?
It's like the Players Tribune. It's like there's a certain, you know, here's why I fell in love with hockey.
We're not ghostwriting.
Here's why I loved my former job. Here's why I left my job. Here's why you can use my name for a 20% off promo code.
Yeah.
But I don't... Oh, and here's the part where I say, I don't want to take your money. And here's the part where I say, but I'm going to take your money. Pretty much it.
it's working, Greg. So, you know, I was like... I did a bunch of those letters from the editor in my first year. I think I did one like every 2 months or something like that. Yeah. And it became kind of a joke at the head office, like, oh, kind of like a slow couple weeks, do another letter from the editor. Because like that seems to get people like interested in the site, and they share it and they talk about, you know, I wrote about ESPN cutting everybody. I wrote about that seemed to really get people interested in supporting us.
Right.
So like for Pierre LeBrun, when you guys got Pierre, he did a why I'm joining the Athletic thing. Did he just send you a photo of him rolling around in money first? Or did you have to force him to, like, write?
Look at me. I'm in my money bin.
Scotty. Look at all the money I got here, Scotty.
Honestly, I don't think for Pierre it was about the money. I think he just thought he wanted to be part of it.
Yeah, I imagine, like, him and Ken Rosenthal were probably in the same boat where, like, they just wanted a place. No, seriously, they just wanted a place where they could write because they're both TV guys lost their writing
Pierre
side of things.
Got paid, but, like, it's like, I mean, he's made tons of money in his career, and he just thinks this is a great idea, and he wanted to be part of what we were doing, and...
He's like Patrick Marleau. He just showed up. He just wants to win.
Yeah.
He just wants to win. The money's incidental to the situation.
He wants to help lift it up. And like it, in the end, it could end up saving a ton of people's jobs. Yeah. I mean, you look at what's happening to newspapers here, and it's just brutal.
That's the thing I always tell people. Like, I've got so many friends that are like, might have been in precarious positions at their newspapers in the next couple of years that are now in great jobs and great gigs and able to build something from the ground up. That's the one thing... That's the best thing about what you're doing right now is this like forward momentum where it's so rare in media now that you feel positive about something and you feel like you're building something and there's like, hey, let's join our team. We're all going. It's like when we started
Fanhouse.
Fanhouse was, you know, Fanhouse, for those who don't know, James and I wrote for AOL back in like 2006, maybe.
I was going to say 08.
It's around that time. 2006, yeah. 7. And it was, I mean, there wasn't a kernel of that sort of, hey, kids, we're putting on a show, come join us thing. But I think, it, like, to a bigger picture, in the first sort of years of blogging, that's what it felt like. And I think that you're...
We finally started getting money for what we were doing. We got $9 U.S. a post. So I would get these little checks that would show up, $9 U.S.
Right.
And then you have to pay a fee to put that in your bank account in Canada. So.
For those who don't know the history of Fanhouse... Eventually, like, you know, James and I, other people were like busting our asses and doing this great work and getting all these clicks and stuff. And then they went out and like hired, like, I don't know if you know Jay Mariotti here in Canada. Like, Jay Mariotti was this like fucking weird ass columnist in Chicago trading on his name value. And they paid him like a shit ton of money. And like, he would get less traffic than shit that James and I would write. And we were like, why are you? But, anyways,
at least you're not still bitter about it.
Yeah. You, right.
You've moved
on.
And
then they folded. But no, like, the Athletic to me recaptures that sort of like, hey, we want to be part of something. And I didn't realize it until the other day when I tried to pay a compliment to the Athletic where I said, they're hiring a lot of like bloggy writers along with big name writers. And someone just stepped up and was like, fuck you, don't talk shit about the Athletic. I'm like, oh my God, there's like, and it's like blogging. It's like there's an entire sort of like militant faction of people ready to come to your defense if anybody tries to mess with your brand.
And there's another militant faction that's attacking us, so it's that can be one of those wars you talk about.
Oh, where it's just all white dudes. By the way, I write for the Athletic now. I just want to throw that out there. No, but like,
kind of like up here.
Like, what? But like, what's your response to that when people are like, hey, "It's all white guys"? Because like, I wrote one thing and I got shit for it because they were just like, "Yeah, The Athletic only hires white guys." Like,
well, I mean, you guys have been. It's a hockey problem, right? And it's...
Yeah, but also like it's a patience problem because when people came at you about The Athletic, like it was like your first week, and they're like, "What? What's wrong? What's up with this hiring?" And in that time since then,
right,
you've hired a really diverse
right.
staff,
right.
So it takes. Well, all right. The alien from Cocoon is waving at the crowd.
I'm literally
over here.
I'm powder.
Yeah,
running through the field to get a job at this point as the electricity hits me and.
But
yeah,
you
like
kind of look like powder.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What's your name?
I know Jeff Goldblum's in it. I don't know how that movie goes. I just know that there's a really
good.
Pale white guy.
You don't want to see it.
It's not no, you don't.
No.
Or know who directed it.
Is it the Star Wars guy?
It's not the Star Wars guy. Google that later. It's pretty great. All right, let's hit you with a hockey question. I want to give you the same one that we offered before. Who wins the cup first, the Leafs or the Oilers? The McDavid Oilers or the Austin Matthews Leafs?
I kind of lean towards the Leafs, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Any reason why?
I have some concerns over what's going to happen with the Oilers.
Because of their salary situation?
That's part of it, yeah.
Because Peter Chiarelli has a bit of a history of mismanagement?
There's been some more questionable decisions there, I think, than in Toronto. But, the Oilers could win this year, though. I mean, I think that they're a legitimate, probably top five choice this year to win. Yeah. So
could the Leafs win this year?
Maybe. I don't know if they're top five.
What's the biggest obstacle towards a Leafs Cup besides decades of futility?
Will it be Patrick Marleau not being able to stay awake long enough to play 7 o'clock?
It's probably the blue line, right? Like they don't have a stud.
They don't have a stopper.
Well, no. I mean, they don't. they don't have like an all around guy.
Yeah. They don't have their Duncan Keith or their Drew Doughty or their fill in the blank, right?
They have their Ron Hainsey.
They do have their Ron Hainsey.
What they need to do, I think, is just make a trade for a guy like that mid-season.
Right.
Yeah.
Trade Willie Nylander.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you trade one of those guys? Like, who would you trade for that guy?
No, I don't think you have to trade one of those guys.
You don't think so?
Trade your first-round pick. I mean, if you're going to be a playoff team, trade your first-round pick.
You trade Kapanen for a defenseman?
Maybe. Depends who it is.
He's like fourth on the totem pole of young guns, right?
He's like Kiefer Sutherland of the actual
Young Guns.
Why'd
you say it like that? It ended in a Z.
Young Guns with a Z. Well, I added a Z because they're extreme. No, but I feel like... But again, like there's such a premium on that kind of defenseman. Like you have to find a team that wants to shed salary or... You know, you got a guy that's up for a contract and don't want to pay him.
Would you have wanted Brent Seabrook at this point in his
no.
career?
Yeah. No.
Like that's what I mean. Like, who's the guy that
other teams
get in the
did?
Trade?
Well, I mean, even if you just get an upgrade to their top four, I think that's going to help them. Like, if someone like Chris Tanev in Vancouver, let's say Vancouver's terrible.
Right.
Like, let's imagine
Vancouver's terrible.
As far fetched as it is, the Canucks are in second last at the trade deadline. And they're willing to trade Chris Tanev for a prospect or whatever, then you add that piece into your top four. Ron Hainsey moves into the third pair, and then the Leafs D gets better.
Yeah, indeed.
Or someone better than Chris Tanev. I mean, whoever, you know.
Dan Girardi.
No.
Oh, I see we got a Tampa fan in the house who's already trying to shed Dan Girardi's contract.
Look, I don't, as you know, I don't really have rooting interests in hockey, but what about, like, Willie Nylander for Andy Green?
God, you are a man.
I thought you were wearing a Marlies jersey. I saw a picture.
I was. It was a Jeremy Williams jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Who wins the cup first, the Devils or the Rangers?
I have no idea.
The correct answer is neither.
Yeah.
Vegas.
It would be the Devils, but at that point, they'll be the Seattle Big Feet.
They got that new building there. I don't think they're going anywhere.
No, the Devils aren't going anywhere. That's one of the nicest
buildings.
Oh, it's a great building. And like that's one of the reasons why, as a Devils fan, that I feel better about life than I probably should, is that I don't have the specter of relocation hanging over my head like a certain team in Brooklyn does all the time.
They took like a $500 million building and like dropped it in the middle of a slum, kind of. It's amazing.
They tried to do the same thing. I mean, Washington was the same way. Like the area around the MCI Center in Washington was a shit show.
Right.
Like there's still a McDonald's there where there's a guy with an automatic weapon that stands by the counter.
Oh yeah, you remember that?
Remember that? We went there with Katie Baker.
I was so drunk that like this guy had like an automatic rifle and bulletproof vest, and I was like, I just need my nuggets. If I catch a bullet, I don't care.
So
he's like,
I believe you only get one barbecue sauce, sir.
And I'm like, I will die for some honey mustard right now.
Put the sweet and sour down!
James. Police violence.
So I was in Washington, obviously, a lot this spring with the Leafs in the playoffs, and I hadn't been there in, I think, 9 years.
It's crazy, right?
The difference in those 9 years was unbelievable.
They're trying to do that in Jersey, but it's still only like a two-block radius of gentrification.
No, the draft there was scary.
If you go three blocks, there's literally, I like to tell this, three blocks away from the 2 blocks away from Prudential Center, you find great bars and great restaurants and everything. 3 blocks over, there is a dude selling rap CDs and baby turtles. And I don't understand why there's baby turtles, but legit, there's a dude on the corner, he's like, do you want this Lil Wayne or Shelly?
I thought you went to Maryland. Why wouldn't you be happy about a guy baby selling turtles?
Feeling pretty good about football these days.
You should
days,
buy
Rutgers.
10 turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Rutgers.
They don't give a shit about college football up here.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. Hey, Kevin, do we have time to like go over a little bit or no? Where's my boy?
Where's Kevin?
Around anywhere, Kevin?
It's all just shadows out there. I can't see anything.
I was born in the shadows. Right. You merely adopted them, Kevin.
Let's do some Q&A stuff with Myrtle up here so you can ask him questions too. I know we have a mic here.
Yeah.
I don't know how the fuck to get it to you guys.
I think you just hand it to him.
You want it? Here, I'll hand it to you.
No, it's over here.
Oh, is there a mic as well? Oh, there's
another mic. Now I got two mics. Look at me. I'm Greg Two Mics.
Oh, by the way, we might close off the Q&A part, so thanks for listening, everybody. Bye. We want to give you guys in the room something to do. It goes Buck Super, Greg Wyszynski, and Dave Lozo. Bye.
I'm Greg Wyszynski of Buck Super.
I'm Dave Lozo of my couch. And deep sighing and shit. But seriously, thanks for listening. We're going to take a week off and come back with a season preview episode. Give a round of applause for the end of this part of the podcast.
Thanks for paying all this money.
So it sounds professional.
Fits and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to what if you commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, eats and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Box soup.